Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which again, this passage begins this way. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. This is God's word. Finally, a sermon about food offered to idols. Pastor, why have you waited so long to talk about this? I'm being facetious, imagine that. But this message really is about food sacrificed to idols, at least on the surface. Dig a little deeper, though, and you will see that it is even more about an attitude. There was an attitude problem in the Corinthian church. And the problem was that people were misusing the knowledge of God's truth. They were using this knowledge without giving love its proper place. They were getting puffed up with pride rather than building others up in love. What a temptation. What a temptation for members of a Bible-based church. We have knowledge. We have God's truth by God's grace preached in our pulpits, proclaimed in our publications. We take a stand against false teachings. These are all good things. But how tempting to become puffed up, thinking we have the right teaching and others don't. How could they be so blind? Problem. Love doesn't do that. We need to listen to what Paul says here. How tempting to take our stand on the knowledge we've learned in the Bible and disregard love, since that love is so often misused today. But here's the trouble. To disregard love is to disregard the Bible. Love builds up. I hope you walk out of here remembering those three words today. Biblical knowledge is necessary. I will say that again. Biblical knowledge is necessary. But without love, it will be misused. Love builds up. But let's be clear on what love is. Love knows the true God. Love places others before our own rights. Love sees others as Christ sees them. That's the love that builds up. So, about the food offered to idols, because I know you've been on the edge of your seat wondering. Some of the Christians in Corinth reached this conclusion. There's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of these idols are nothing. So, if I eat meat sacrificed to them, I'm not worshiping them. They don't even exist. Eating is eating, and I can do it giving thanks to the one true God. Notice, Paul does not say that they've misunderstood what they've learned. Their knowledge is correct. But they're using it to puff themselves up rather than serve others in love. How do we know that they were puffed up? Because they failed to see the harm this did to their fellow Christians. Maybe some of them were so convinced that those idols were nothing, they had no pangs of conscience about eating that meat. It did not harm their faith. But many who knew the true God and believed in Jesus still felt that eating that meat was honoring the idol. It was a well-established custom that a portion of an animal be brought to the idol's altar and the rest of the meat be served as part of a public meal or sold in the marketplace. From a young age on up, they had been taught that this was to honor the idol. Do you see why, even after coming to faith in Jesus, their conscience might trouble them about eating such meat? So, Paul wants the Christian whose knowledge lets him eat that meat, since he knows the idol is nothing, he wants the Christian to weigh the outcome. On one hand is eating some meat which won't bring you any closer to God, and on the other is driving a fellow Christian away from God by leading them to go against conscience. So even if knowledge says it's your right to eat that meat, should you? Love says no. Love says, with Paul, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I do not cause them to fall. Love places others before our own rights. Do you think about this before you make your choices in life? You see, this isn't just about eating meat sacrificed to idols. Do you make your choices based on your rights, or based on what will be beneficial to the faith of your fellow Christian? We live in a society that champions individual rights above all else. And when we deal with the world, to a certain extent, we need to protect our rights. But when dealing with our fellow Christians, love builds up, even if that means setting my rights aside. Knowledge can prove it's your right, but love places others before our own rights. Love builds up. Here's a few examples. God in the New Testament, in which we are living, does not give us rules about how often to come to church, how much to give, how often to go to the Lord's Supper, how much to study God's Word, how often to pray, what kind of entertainment we should enjoy, and so on. But as we choose to do or not do those things, do you think about how it affects other Christians? Or to put it another way, does your example lead others closer to Jesus or drive them further away? Now it's getting uncomfortable. How often have you and I done what is not necessarily wrong in and of itself, but it may have been harmful to someone else's faith? It's almost impossible to estimate something like that, but if it has happened, it is sin. Did you hear the Apostle Paul? When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, he writes, you sin against Christ. What hope do we have since we're almost certainly guilty of harming somebody else's faith at some time. Here's the hope we have. Remember how Jesus sees you. Remember how Jesus sees you, and not just you, but every other person as well. Yes, He knows our sins, every one of them. But He sees you and me as someone for whom He died. He died to pay for my lack of love. He died for our choices that end up leading others away. He died for you and all your sins. That's how huge His love for you is. He set aside His right to be rewarded for His perfection, and instead experienced a punishment He didn't deserve, so it wouldn't fall on you. That's love. That's the source of all forgiveness. You see, if someone hurts you, you probably have a right to be angry. The world says, in your anger, go for revenge. Forgiveness from God is voluntarily giving up your right to seek revenge, and is instead a move towards restoration. It's the only thing that can break the cycles of hate that do so much to damage our world. This is an invitation to see your fellow Christian through Christ's eyes. He died for them, sinners though they may be, just as He died for you. Why would I insist on my right if it would harm a brother or sister for whom Christ died? It's one thing to win an argument. It's another to love someone into the truth. Let's plumb the depths of God's Word to learn how to balance knowledge on one side and love on the other. And when we get it wrong, may grace prevail. And let love build up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your apostle gives us a challenging word today. He reminds us that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And it's not that knowledge is bad, but we can make it something it was never intended to be. Move us, Heavenly Father, by the love that Jesus showed us on the cross, to approach others with knowledge in a way that builds them up, that gently tells them the truth about the trouble that we are in as sinners, and then gives them the solution through the precious gospel of everything Jesus has done on our behalf. Forgive us, Father, when we get this balance wrong, and lead us by your Holy Spirit to get it right for the benefit of our brothers and sisters in Jesus, not to mention those who do not yet know you the way you wish to be known. We pray it in your holy name. Amen.